The primary election always ends with winners and losers. We check in with HPR's political reporter Wayne Yoshioka for what's next on the horizon for these folks.
Well, we looked at the election results from the primary, and it's 6 days after the August 11th election, and we find that Governor David Ige did really well in urban Honolulu, and on the Big Island, Josh Green did really well. So their pairing, I think, will be a formidable, formidable partnership, and they look like they're going to breeze through that general election like nobody's business.
I know, and I think when we were talking earlier, I'd mentioned that, being at David Ige's campaign headquarters the last time around, you could really see his loyal base.
Correct, and, the Hawaii State Teachers Association, they've backed him for the last two elections, and they are a really onerous cadre of volunteers. They get out there early, and they sine wave like nobody's business, and I think that's going to make a big difference. But Josh Green can hold his own, I think, on the Big Island. He won that hands down over his nearest competitor, Jill Tokuda, 3-1. So I think they're going to be really tough to beat. David Ige lost to Colleen Hanabusa on the Big Island, so by about a few hundred votes. But having Josh Green on that team is going to make a big difference.
Right. So you've got two folks on the Democratic Party who seem to get along, and there's some synergy there. But on the Republican side, they're having some issues.
Not so much. Yeah. We have a Republican gubernatorial candidate, Andrea Tupola, who is not talking to her running mate, Marissa Kearns. And that's going to be really tough because there are 250,000 Democrats that voted in the election, 8-1 over the Republican. And if they're not, cohesive and working as a team, they're going to have a really tough time. I see some votes going to Andrea Tupola from Colleen Hanabusa out in the leeward area, leeward Oahu. But other than that, it looks pretty dismal for the Republican team.
Yeah, I know. And with the voter turnout, I know folks say that, folks maybe don't turn out because we don't have a strong two-party system, and you kind of wish you could, do something and inject something into that Republican Party to get a healthy dialogue going and some real competition.
Real competition, but, I think voter turnouts, it was 38% during the primary election. It's going to be dismal during the general election because people know that David Ige and Josh Green are going to win. So why go out and vote if you outnumber the Republicans 8-1?
Well, you have to because there are very important issues coming up on the general election ballot. You've got the Constitutional Convention issues. You've got charter amendments.
And, on the county level as well as the state level. So, yes, that's something that you should turn out for. And really, just go out there and vote. I mean, they have other races throughout the state, and, some of them are still contested. So go out there and vote and really at least have your say.
And you and I have been around the block a few times, and sometimes when it gets to those long questions, people are like, oh, what do we do? And so you really kind of have to bone up and educate yourself before you get to the polls to understand what the issues are.
Correct. And especially when you have a legislative introduced constitutional amendments. I mean, they go through two fact checks. They're weighed against the majority. Then they're also weighed against the not counted votes, the blank votes. And it's a real complicated formula. So if you don't vote and you leave it blank, there's a chance that it might not carry over.
Right. And I know that Common Cause has that app where they're trying to educate voters before they go out, the Power app. So hopefully folks will bone up before November.
At least weigh in on some of the issues that there are there. And we did experience, I guess, some upsets in the Senate with Sharon Moriwaki beating incumbent Brickwood Galateria in a District 12 of the State Senate in Kaka'ako. That was a big upset. And I think the other upset was in Waimea and Hala'ula, State Representative District 7, where David Tarnas beat incumbent Cindy Evans. So those were the highlights, I guess, from the primary election going into the general election, which is only 80-plus days away.
And you've reached out to some of those candidates to talk about their experiences, first-timers, and actually getting in. Because I remember with Sharon, I used to see her at the HCDA meetings, and I think that's where she kind of built a base.
Correct. She was primarily with, what's that, Kaka'ako Now, or with that group. But she was also on the cabinet of John Wahee. So she's a very experienced candidate, at least from the sidelines. And she really put up a big fight for that seat. And I think Brickwood Galateria, I didn't see him. You know, he's usually on the corner of Ward and Kapiolani Avenue, I mean Boulevard, and he's usually sign-waving, but there was an absence that he wasn't there. So he really didn't show the voters that I want this job, like Sharon did.
And what do you think happened on the Big Island race, though, with Cindy Evans?
Oh, Cindy Evans? I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know the area. But that whole Waimea area, I mean, it's hard to reach. The houses are far apart. So, and I think David, you know, put up a pretty good campaign where he went out there and said, I'm visible and I want to work for you, where Cindy Evans was, you know, was the floor leader for the House. So she really didn't have a big committee or a big presence in that legislative session. So I think that's part of the problem.
And you've been chatting with some of the winners and losers, and I know you reached out to Doug Chin, his first time in an elected office.
Correct. And he's an attorney, and he's not used to being an extrovert, and he really was tested in terms of getting out there, putting himself out there, and having to have that salesmanship and selling himself. And I talked to him, and it was a great conversation. I think he's going to be someone to contend with in the future. I'm also going to talk to Sharon Moriwaki tomorrow, so that should be another interesting insight into what it takes as a first-time runner running for office, for any political office at all.
Right, because I remember with Doug Chin, he worked as the city managing director for Mayor Peter Carlisle. So that's how he kind of jumped into that.
And he was also the attorney general who fought the Trump administration. So, but he had to put himself out there. And I think the hardest part is to put your family out there and say, okay, we are running as a family, and to have all your children and your wife go, ooh, that's beyond our comfort zone. So it takes a lot.
Yeah, because I'm sure there were some interesting conversations. They had to kind of turn the stone around. What is this going to mean to our lives?
Right, and I think it's changed forever. And I think just knowing Doug Chin, he's got that. He's been smitten with that political bug, and I think he's going to run again. I'm pretty sure he's going to run again because he likes it.
And so do you know what Congresswoman Colleen Hunnebusa is going to do?
No, I haven't talked to her. You know, she stays in office until January, so that gives her some time to weigh her options.
Right, and she's a labor attorney.
Correct. So she can go back into practice. She's got her legislative retirement and 6 years in Congress. She's got her congressional retirement, so she's not going to be hurting for any reason at all.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Wayne.
Thank you.
That was HPR's political reporter, Wayne Yoshioka. You can find his stories online at hawaiipublicradio.org.